Here we come.
What's your name?
Stanley Laurel.
Say sir when you're addressing me. Now, what's your name?
Sir Stanley Laurel.
What's your name?
Oliver Norval Hardy. Sir.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This weekend, Dormont's Hollywood Theater is issuing a laugh challenge. Anyone who can sit through this Sunday's matinee of Laurel and Hardy films without laughing at least once will get a ticket refund plus a large popcorn. Such a deal. Comedy expert Dan Kamen, who selected the program, joins us in studio to talk about the films he has chosen and the chances that any audience member will be able to avoid laughing. He'll introduce the films and lead a post-show discussion. Dan Kamen, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, it's nice to see you, Paul.
And also taking part in the conversation is actor David Newell, best known for his portrayal of Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He is a Laurel and Hardy aficionado, not surprising, who is also taking part in Sunday's post-show discussion at the Hollywood Theater. David Newell, good to have you with us.
Speedy delivery, Paul.
So whose idea was this?
Well, it was my idea.
Okay, you're almost reluctant to admit it.
Guilty as charged.
Okay.
The Hollywood Theater, you see, has been doing a series of wonderful silent films every month. And what's wonderful about it is they bring in some of the best musicians in the country who specialize in accompanying. Each of these is accompanied, of course, because silent films were never silent. They always were accompanied by live musicians. And locally, we have our brilliant Tom Roberts, who has put together some of the scores and played for them. And this Sunday, we're having a man named Jay Spencer, who is an organist for the Canton Palace Theater in Canton, Ohio, who has done several of the films and is one of the best accompanists in the country to accompany these Laurel and Hardys.
Okay, so why even have a challenge like this? Isn't it nearly impossible not to laugh at Laurel and Hardy?
Well, unless you're dead, probably, and that's, so we think we're pretty safe.
Well, speaking of which, isn't it hazardous to your health to try and suppress laughter?
Well, it's a gimmick.
Seriously, I saw these films at the International Film Festival in Bologna this summer. Bologna, Italy has become a center for the restoration of classic films, and people come from all over the world. I met the famous director who did Election and The Descendants. What's his name?
You're the same position I am. I'm not thinking names.
Martin Scorsese is on the board, and this is a great international film festival. But unlike Cannes and Toronto, it's all classic films. One night they showed Casablanca, and it was introduced by Isabella Rossellini. During the day, you can go to talks and see films in all the several theaters in town. But at night, every night on the piazza, they do it for the public for free. There's about 2,000 people who come for the festival, but every night has 4,000 to 5,000 people. And I saw these three Laurel and Hardy films, and if there was a roof above us, it would have been shaking because people go into hysterics. And these are...
And they were silent.
These are... Yeah. People don't know because the boys, Laurel and Hardy, made such an effortless transition to sound, and their voices suit them so perfectly that people don't even realize that they had a very successful career in silent films before they made sound films. They were already big stars as silent film comedians.
David Newell, what made Laurel and Hardy such a great comedy team?
I think that they slowed their comedy down in their sound films mainly. And they worked together so well. I mean, you were explaining the other day about Oliver. It's too complicated to explain, but they worked things out so well. It was choreographed almost, I think it was. It was Stan, the thin one, was the brains behind the team. He was the gag writer of sorts,
well,
right?
He always demanded twice the salary. They worked for Hal Roach Studios, that also did our gang comedies. And Stan always asked for twice the salary, and Ollie agreed. Yes, because...
And Ollie agreed.
Well, and the reason was that he was there twice as long. He was part of the writing team. He wrote a lot of them himself. He helped to direct them. He helped to edit them. Whereas Ollie would show up on the set and do the film, and he'd be back on the golf course immediately afterwards. But he contributed greatly, obviously, and Stan worshipped him because he was such a brilliant comedian.
And just so people can get the visual, you know, for those who are not familiar with Laurel and Hardy, Stan was the more soft-spoken, the thin one, as you said, Dan. Stan Laurel, an Englishman, and Oliver Hardy, a very heavy-set, pompous, you know, American, acting pompous, not necessarily in real life. You know, was he, David?
I don't think he was a pompous. He's a very nice man, according to legend. But the equivalent of modern day that maybe your listeners might know would be Art Carney and Jackie Gleason.
Okay,
or
sure,
sort
right.
of that combination. Right. And that's who Laurel and Hardy
Another
were.
Equivalent is, well, it's not an equivalent, but a lot of heavyset comedians got their got an essential joke by acting very delicately, and the one who did that especially was Jackie Gleason. Mm-hmm. If you remember how deft and delicate his movements, he would do these fussy little movements as Reginald Van Gleason III and his different characters on the Gleason
well,
TV
what was it,
show.
The poor soul.
The poor soul.
And that was without sound.
That was Pantomime too. So
well, all those early television guys grew up on silent movies, and they prided themselves on being able to make people laugh without talking.
Well, going back to Laurel and Hardy, the thing that people might assume that going from being silent film actors to sound actors is just a very easy transition. It's just a matter of in one you can't talk, in the other, which came later, the talkies, you could obviously speak, but that wasn't as easy as people might think. Harold Lloyd would have been a prime example of somebody who, as a silent comedian, hilarious. Once he had to use his voice, it just didn't work as well.
It was a catastrophe for many silent movie stars. Chaplin, Harold Lloyd, Buster Keaton. Keaton's career essentially, you know, ended as a creative career because he lost control of his films. Lloyd's voice somehow didn't quite, it was a fine voice, but it didn't, he just didn't seem somehow as universal as a sound comedian. Greta Garbo became an even bigger star. Laurel and Hardy became even bigger stars because their voices perfectly matched, and they found a kind of verbal humor that perfectly matched and amplified what their visual humor was.
But you said universal, which I think the team was. I think they made everybody laugh. I think they came down to the common denominator. I think it was a. I told you that the critics didn't seem to like Laurel and Hardy at their peak, but the audiences always did, and they were a big success financially with their films.
I'm surprised that they weren't as much of a critical success as you're saying.
Well
they
made almost 400 films, Paul.
So they couldn't all be hits.
Exactly. They were cranking them out. They were low budget. That music that you played that became their theme music was generic music that was played on the R Gang's comedies and
let's
other
give
films.
It, let's give an example of Laurel and Hardy doing their thing. And this is this works particularly well on the radio. This is from an audio recording that they made on a trip to London. And again, the team composed of Englishman Stan Laurel, the thin one, American Oliver Hardy, the heavier one, seemingly an unlikely pairing. Let's listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country. Words cannot describe my feelings upon...
Harry.
Never before have I been received...
Harry.
Never before have I been... Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I think my friend Mr. Laurel wishes to speak to me. What's on your mind?
What about mentioning me in the speech?
Don't worry. I'll get to you in just a few minutes.
In a few minutes?
Certainly.
Well, the record will be over in a few minutes. Then you won't be able
Listen,
to...
Listen, why don't you do something to help me?
Well, what can I do?
Here's a hard-boiled egg. Eat that and just relax.
Thank you, Ollie.
Now, let's see where I was. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country.
Ollie.
What?
Speak up.
What for?
I can't hear you.
And if you'll get that egg down, you'll be able to hear me much better.
I just did get the egg down.
What'd you do with the eggshell?
What eggshell?
Don't tell me you've eaten the egg with the shell on it.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me anything of that. You don't happen to have another one, do you?
No, I haven't.
Have you got any nuts?
No, I haven't got any nuts.
Well, what'd you do with those we brought in New York?
Oh, I left them in my wardrobe trunk.
Where is your trunk? Maybe we could go get them.
Oh, that reminds me. Where is my trunk? I haven't seen it for several days.
Have you felt in all your pockets?
Now, that's a good idea. I'll take a look. What do you mean, have I felt in all my pockets? Will you please stop annoying me while I make this speech?
No, I'm not annoying you. I'm not doing
now,
anything.
Now, keep quiet.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop wiggling your tie.
What do you mean, stop wiggling my tie?
Well, every time you get fancy, you start wiggling your tie, and it looks silly.
If you interrupt me again, I'll wiggle you. What are you crying for?
I don't want to be wiggled.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to speak to my friend privately.
That's from a Laurel and Hardy audio recording. Again, Englishman Stan Laurel, American Oliver Hardy. How did these two get together, David?
I think they got together. Well, they both made individual silent films. Stan was in one and Oliver was in another. And there was a pairing at one point by the Hal Roach Company, right? And it worked out.
Well, they were together randomly in a couple of films, but
they were just kind of cast together.
The great director Leo McCarey was working for Hal Roach as a staff director, and he had the idea of putting them together. And Stan had the idea that the central theme of their film should be that they're dumb. They're dumb and dumber. In fact, one of the last great comedy teams we can even name. We were talking about who have been the comedy teams. You can't think of any today, but Jim Carrey and Daniels were Dumb and Dumber, but they only made one or two films, whereas Laurel and Hardy made over 100 together. And he put them together, and they immediately clicked. Everybody realized, including especially Stan and Ollie, that they were onto something, because neither of them had been major stars. Stan was working in the background as a gag man and writer, largely, as well as occasionally starring. But once they were together, everybody realized they had a hit on their hands.
And I think the sound films really made them, because the pattern between them.
I have to tell you, too, this the recording you played was from their first, Stan's first return to London since he came to America to tour with a British comedy troupe in 1912. He hadn't been back. And in that comedy troupe, he was, in fact, the understudy to Charlie Chaplin.
Hmm.
And his skill is as great as Charlie Chaplin's, and you'll see that on Sunday. You especially see it in the silent films. You're so absorbed with their characters, you don't really notice how brilliant it is. 20 years later, they went back to London. They started touring. When their American careers ended, they started touring the British Isles. And in 1953, when the boat was pulled up in Cove, Ireland, there were boats all around them trying to, you know, honking. And suddenly all the church bells in the town started ringing the cuckoo song, the theme song. And they both looked at each other and started crying. They said, and Stan said, you know, to his biographer, John McCabe, you know, we couldn't understand it, that they still loved us, but maybe they loved us because of all the love we put into our films.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking about a Sunday matinee of Laurel and Hardy films at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont, and the challenge being issued by the folks at the theater and our comedy expert Dan Kamen, as well as David Newell, of people not to laugh, to get through the movie without laughing, and if they can, they get a full refund and a large popcorn. How is this challenge going to be judged? I mean, what are you going to keep the lights up and look and have hall monitors or aisle monitors going up and down?
We've hired the same people who do security for the Oscars.
You know it's really a gimmick, don't you?
No, I'm thinking that
there's going to be rules. There are rules that will be presented right at the beginning.
You can't just give a large popcorn to just anybody. They have to earn it, don't they?
They're going to have to lie through their teeth.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly.
That's for sure. I want to meet whoever can sit through these without laughing.
The Hollywood Theater is on Potomac Avenue, by the way.
Right. Thank you for mentioning that. You know, is there something especially delicious about laughing when you're not supposed to? Kind of like when you're in school and the teacher tells you not to laugh, and that somehow makes everything funnier.
You sound like you're speaking from experience, Paul. Have you been a bad boy, Paul?
Many times.
Yeah, well, I think we've all lost track. Fulton School, Mrs. Langsner, fifth grade.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, boy, we would do the pantomimes and, you know, try not to laugh, and she'd always catch me, of course. Anyway, so before we wrap this up, give us the particulars again, Sunday, for when this is.
Well, Sunday at 3 o'clock, Laurel and Hardy, we're going to accompany Jay Spencer, right? And there will be, Dan will introduce them all, give some history. Mm-hmm. Now, a Q&A afterwards, we'll both participate. If anybody wants a McFeely autograph, I'll do that. But please come. Bring kids. Okay. That's what we hope you bring.
Create some more Laurel and Hardy fans. And are there enough... we have just a few seconds here. But are there enough? Can they afford to give all these refunds?
Well, I certainly hope so.
That's Dan Kamen channeling his inner Stan Laurel. Also, David Newell, who is AKA Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Speedy delivery call.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone.